Welcome back to another episode of the Daily Unicorn Mini Podcast. My name is Jordan Syatt. Thank you so much for tuning in. And I'm excited about this episode because a lot of people wonder, what are you supposed to do when progress stalls? And specifically, also people also wonder, how do you know when you're supposed to change things? Like, how long should you wait? What do you do once you get to that point? How do you change your nutrition? Do you change your workouts? Like, how, do you do them both? Like, what do you actually change about them? So I spoke to Jen from the Inner Circle, a really wonderful woman, asking these questions, and she is doing so many things well that she didn't realize. And I have a feeling you probably are too. And the reality is, a lot of people, they're doing so many things well, they just don't realize it. And then they stop doing it because they don't realize how well they're actually doing. So I want you to listen to this episode. I think you're really going to like it, especially if you're struggling with losing weight or possibly changing your guidelines and understanding how and when to do that. So I hope you enjoy it. Any questions, let me know. Have a wonderful day.
Jen, hello.
Hi, can you hear me?
I can hear you. Can you hear me?
I can.
How are you?
I'm doing well today. How are you?
I'm doing very well. Where do you live? Where are you calling from?
I'm in Pennsylvania near Philly.
Pennsylvania? And that's, I love yeah. Philadelphia. It's one of my all-time favorite cities.
Yeah?
Awesome. Did you grow up there?
I grew up in the area, yeah.
Got it.
Yeah, suburbia. I'm a suburban girl.
Yeah?
Yeah.
So, well, thank you for taking the time to hop on the phone with me. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, me too. Thank you.
And so basically, I mean, first of all, how about this? Because I don't know too much about you. Just tell me about yourself. What do you do? Like, I know where you're from, but like, give me like, tell me who you are, where you're from, what you do. Okay. Like, just like, I just want to get to know you a little better.
All right. Sounds good. So I am a mom of two little girls. They're 4 and 7. I also work in marketing for an insurance company. So I sit in meetings all day and at a desk all day. I'm into lifting, of course.
And you're into lifting? So how'd you get into lifting?
Yeah. Well, okay. So let's see. I grew up with really bad asthma, and I was basically told all my life that I couldn't be active, that I couldn't do anything really active because it would trigger my asthma. So I was a pretty inactive kid growing up, until I graduated from college. I had put on, the freshman 15, but more like 25.
Okay. Yep.
And after college, I decided that I didn't want to be the kid with asthma. I wanted to get more active and get in shape and be healthy. I realized that I didn't want to look at people and say, I wish I could do that. I want to be able to look like that. I wanted to be in a place where I could, you know, take the reins and do that for myself. So I started just doing videos at home, like aerobic type videos. And then I started admiring women who had muscle. So I got into weight training then. And my husband, I guess he was my boyfriend at the time. It was a long time ago. He bought a squat rack from a guy that he worked with who was getting rid of a bunch of equipment. And we just started lifting in our basement. And, you know, our basement gym has grown over time. And I took a little bit of time off from lifting after I had my first daughter and thought that I could lose the baby weight by running fast. You know, I could lose it faster by getting into running. And it worked, but then I'd look at myself in the mirror and look at those women in the fitness magazines and say, no, I kind of want my muscle back. So
I love that.
Running had done its thing for me, and I kind of got bored with it and started lifting again about 3 years ago.
So that like last like line was very powerful. That like really said, like, I kind of want that back. That was so, I love that. That's amazing. Yeah.
So I've really been into it over the past 3 years, doing different programs, and the focus has shifted from, you know, admiring the fitness models and the women who do, the shows and things like that, to more women who are really strong and love to lift because it makes them happy and it makes them feel good about themselves, and not necessarily the mindset where you need to, you know, I'm only going to eat plain chicken breast and I'm not going to eat any carbs and my diet's not going to make me happy. So so I've done a lot of mindset work over the past few years, a lot of lifting, and I love it so much. But now I need to get to a place where my nutrition is matching, you know, how I feel on the inside. I feel strong and healthy. But when I look at myself in the mirror, I feel like I could use some improvement. You know, I haven't met my goals.
Got it.
In the way
I look.
And
so that's what you want to talk about today, is nutrition and sort of how to improve your nutrition?
Yeah. So when I had joined the Inner Circle about 3.5 weeks ago, you and I had emailed to set up some calorie guidelines, and you you challenged me to track calories for 90 days. Mm-hmm. So I've been doing that consistently for 3.5 weeks.
How's it going?
I think it's going great. I mean, I think it goes back to, you know, everybody knows what to do, right? But sometimes there's just so much information out there, and I would get to a point if I had myself on a nutrition program where I would doubt myself, am I doing this right? So then I'd sort of fall off the wagon.
Yep.
But you challenged me to 90 days. So I'm sticking to that 90 days, and it's been amazing. I mean,
that makes me incredibly happy. Could you tell me tell me, I want to hear the whole thing. I don't even want to tell you what to say. Just like, talk to me about it. Like, what's amazing? What have you struggled with? Like, what's insightful? Just go off.
Okay. So, I mean, I guess I was so resistant to counting calories before. I'm not really sure probably because I didn't know if my calorie guidelines were serving me properly. So it's been great because I've been able to eat flexibly within the calorie guidelines that I have. I'm still able to eat, you know, a slice of pizza with my kids on the weekends or whatever it is, have treats here and there but I'm planning for them better. So I know if I'm going to have pizza on a Friday night with my kids, I'm eating a little bit less throughout the day, you know, so I'm just planning for it. If I'm going out for a meal with friends, I'm just planning ahead and making sure that my calories throughout the day are pretty light so I can feel happy with how I'm eating and not like, oh, I'm out to dinner with friends and I can't eat anything that everybody else is eating. So
can I interject right there? Cause that was a very powerful thing that you just said. And I want to sort of talk about it.
Sure.
First of all, huge congratulations. And I'm remarkably impressed because what you're doing right now, you said like everybody knows what they should do, but like there's so much information and it's hard. Like, it's important to recognize when you're actually doing it. And I think it's sometimes easy to overlook your own successes and everything. So I want to say huge congrats. You're doing amazing.
Thank you.
That's the Thanks. Consistency. I don't want you to overlook it. That's incredible.
Yeah. It feels good.
Yeah, it does feel good to really look back. And because a lot of times people think they're being consistent, but when they actually get consistent, they're like, oh, no, I wasn't. But what I want to talk about is how essentially you just described being able to have pizza on the weekend with your kids or go out to dinner and not mm-hmm. feel like you're missing out and like not feel like you're restricting. And it's the way I like to describe this more than necessarily flexible dieting. I think a better term is strategic dieting, where it's like all you're doing, it's not, because here's the question people always ask. Well, how do I go out to a restaurant and eat their food if I don't know how many calories are in it? And it's a great question, but it's the wrong question. The question isn't like, what do you do if you don't know how many calories? The question is like, well, what are you going to be eating before and after to make up for what you might not be fully aware of, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
So, and what you're doing is being strategic by, okay, so I'll eat a little bit less before I go, so I have more leeway when I do go.
Right.
And it sounds so simple when I say it, because it is so simple. It's just not always easy. And a lot of times people, they put so much emphasis on the one meal, on that one meal, like that one meal is going to make or break everything, that they it's easy to forget the larger picture of, well, what are you doing beforehand and after and the rest of the week? And you're just based on what you said, you're doing incredibly well. And I fully believe that you will achieve any and all of your nutrition and physique related and fitness goals because you're doing the right things consistently now. So I want you to know that.
Okay. Awesome. Thank you for saying that.
So and sorry, I interjected. Keep going.
No. So I guess, from here, right. I'm 3.5 weeks in. So I guess one of the questions I had for you today was, how do I know when to change things up? So are there certain cues? Do I get to a point where I'm on a plateau and maybe I need to adjust calories a little bit? So how do I continue to make progress in the next 90 days or, you know, until I reach maintenance, I guess?
That's a great question. So let me ask you this. How are you tracking your progress right now?
In terms of like weight and things like that?
Well, not necessarily. I mean, so the question was, how do you know when you need to make a change based on progress? Yeah. So the first, my question back is what do you consider progress essentially? Some people might consider progress fat loss. Some people might consider progress more energy. So whatever your, and I'll tell you, when I say some people, I mean 100% of people, not 100%. Everybody generally wants to look good naked. Most people start off by wanting to lose fat so they can get more defined and then building more muscle along the way. So what is your goal? And then how are you tracking your progress currently?
Yeah, so I'm probably not tracking my progress in the best way. I've really just been, looking in the mirror, seeing how clothes fit, and also weighing myself. I never took measurements. I didn't take measurements 3.5 weeks ago or whenever I started tracking my calories. So it's really scale, clothes, and just how I look, how I feel, and how I look.
Okay. So, and how often are you weighing yourself? And how often, so it's scale, clothes, and how you look. So how often are you weighing yourself?
Every day, and knowing that it's going to fluctuate up and down. I've lost 3 pounds in the past 3.5 weeks.
Freaking amazing. That's amazing.
It doesn't seem like a lot, but I know it is. A pound per week is good.
This is the funniest part of it all, right? If I said to you when we first got on the phone, hey, Jen, what's like an average rate of weight loss? An average rate of weight loss, like on a good amount of average weight loss per week, you would say what?
Yeah. Half a pound to a pound per week.
Half a pound to a pound a week. That's you're like, no, yeah, absolutely. Now you just said you were literally, I could hear you being like, yeah, it's been 3 pounds in the last 3.5 weeks. And you're like, and then immediately you were like, it doesn't sound like much, but I know it is. It's crazy how your emotions can completely overtake all logic when you literally know not only is it like 3 pounds on like, not only is it average, in terms of it's average in terms of really good progress, like it's average to really good, and the scale that you gave half a pound to a pound, it's on the upper end of that, like
right.
So if you literally lost like a pound or a pound and a half for the last 3 weeks, I'd be like, Jen, that's fucking awesome, like, you know. and the reality is, if you had a friend who's like, I've only lost 3 pounds in 3 weeks, you'd be like, are you stupid? That's fucking awesome. Why are you disappointed?
Yeah, that's great. I know. We nitpick ourselves.
So that's the first thing where that's number one. Number two is, I'll tell you what else. If you told me I haven't lost any weight in 3 weeks, I wouldn't be concerned. It wouldn't be like, wow, you're really screwing up, Jen. Like that wouldn't bother me. It wouldn't mean you're doing anything bad, because the scale is only one form of measurement. And some people, it's funny, like I've tracked thousands, literally thousands of weight progress sheets for months and months and months. And I see several different patterns. Some people, they'll lose from day one for like 90 days straight. They'll just lose almost every day, like little bits, like an ounce here, an ounce here. Other people, they won't lose for like the first 2 weeks. And then like, they'll have like a boom, big drops and stop. And they'll go another 2 weeks and then boom, big drop and stop. It's like a more of a staircase. Mm-hmm. And then other people, they'll have like an initial drop, spike up, then hover around, initial drop, spike up, hover around. Mm-hmm. And it's like, so you see like, that's more of like a, a little bit of like a heartbeat type thing, but a downward trend overall. So those are the three major ones that I see. And based on what I'm hearing from you so far, and it can, it could totally change, but you're probably more of the last one, like a heartbeat, consistent. If you look at the line of it over time, it's going to be down, but on a Tuesday and on Saturday, and then on the next Wednesday, it might spike up. Right.
Right.
But so in the moment you might get that emotional, like what the heck, but like, if you look at it over the course of 3 months, it's going to be like, oh, that's clearly down. So the number one thing that I would really, really, really make sure you do, because question being, how do you track your progress, is you need to make sure that you're being very diligent with your tracking.
Okay.
Reason being, the whole thing we just went through of, it's very easy to let your emotions overtake your logic. So if you're not diligently keeping track of the data, then it will be very easy for you to get emotionally upset and stop or change. Or that's the reason a lot of times people will binge, because they get emotional in thinking they're not making progress, when if they actually looked at the data, they wouldn't end up binging because they were making progress. So I would say, I'll leave the scale for the last one I'm going to talk about, but I would say measurements every 2 weeks. Okay.
Okay.
And take them at the same time. So, and for weights, I say weigh yourself in the morning before you eat or drink, after you pee and poop, if possible. Because the more consistent you are, the more consistent the day is going to be. And then what you'll see is like a lot of women, they'll, the week of or the week prior to their period, they'll get more bloated. And like, it's funny, like I track that in my client data sheet. So if they say, hey, like I'm on my period this here to here, and then like 3 months later, I've gotten enough data to see what happens. And they'll be like, I don't know why I'm gaining weight this week. I'm like, Shelly, every week for the past 3 months, we've gained weight. We know this is going to happen. So not only is it important from the perspective of keeping track of your progress, but also to prevent an emotional upset when it's just normal. That's how your body responds that time of the month. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Yes.
So if you see your measurements go up and it's your period week, cool. Like, then just what I would do is just don't take your measurements that week and wait until your period is over.
Okay.
Type of thing. It's sort of just being, it's sort of like if it's your birthday and you go and you have a really big dinner and like a lot of food, and don't weigh yourself the next day, even if you're supposed to weigh every day, like don't weigh yourself. That's stupid. You know, you're going to weigh more. It's a waste of time. So measurements every 2 weeks, pictures every 4 weeks. And I'm almost hesitant to say picture every 4 weeks, because I do that with one-on-ones when I was really focusing on one-on-one, and not anymore. It's much more inner circle now. But the one-on-one stuff, even when people made amazing progress with their pictures, they'd be like, I don't really see a difference. I'd be like, I'm going to kill you right now. Like, this is insane. And then of course, like they might not see it much month to month very much, but then I'll look back like 6 months and I'll put them all side by side by side. Like, oh my God, I didn't even know that happened. It's like, right. So like, it's, pictures are important if you have someone objective looking at it. I also think it's important it's cool to do like the long-term overview, to say like, wow, this is where I started this month. And then a year later, here's where I am. And it's like, holy shit, that's completely different. I think it's important for that. Just understand, you might not see that every month, the difference, because you're not objective.
Right.
Right. Yep. So it's important. I think it's great for the overall data and documentation, but not necessarily for like definitively judging based on yourself. And then clothes are very important. If your clothes are consistently going down or whatever direction you want them to go, like waist going down, like some women are like, I want my ass to get huge. Like, why is my butt not getting, the pants aren't getting tighter on my butt. So whatever you want to happen there, measure, keeping track of your clothes for sure. And then one thing, and this doesn't always work, but like if you are around people on a regular basis, or even if like you see someone you haven't seen in a while, a lot, like the comments that people are like, oh my God, like you look like you've lost weight, or you look like your arms are more, those comments, people generally don't say something random like that unless they actually see it. Like, very rarely will you see someone and see no change and be like, God, you look like you lost 15 pounds. So it's like, it doesn't happen. So when you get those comments, it's something where someone might be emailing me and they'll be like, oh, I don't think I'm making progress. And 2 days later, they'll be like, oh my God, I saw someone I hadn't seen in 2 months. And they're like, clearly you've lost weight. And that type of stuff, it's very telling because it usually doesn't just happen randomly. So those are the ways that I tend to measure. Do you have any questions on that?
No. I mean, do you think weighing myself every day is too much? Is that overkill?
I'm glad you brought that up because I completely forgot that I was going to go back to the scale.
No.
So this is a very touchy subject, and this is where like the fitness industry gets very like, I hate the scale, screw the scale, never do it. And then the people are like, the scale's actually really important. No. And I'm somewhere in the middle on that front. For some people, I think weighing every day is a really good idea. Because for some, here's where I really think the scale wins. The scale wins when it acts as your accountability and you know the next day you're going to step on the scale no matter what. And that will help you stay on track where it's like, you know what? I know I don't want to see that. And like, this is going to help me be more consistent. The scale becomes a hindrance and a nuisance when you do have a more flexible day, or even when the scale just goes up for no reason other than it's the fucking scale and that's just going to happen. And, and you let your emotions be ruled by the scale. When you try to make the scale, which is an illogical thing, logical, because it won't go down every day. It won't go down every week. It will spike up for completely random reasons that you wouldn't even think of. And this is where a lot of self-awareness becomes very important. If you know that you are going to get pissed off and upset the scale goes up, I would say don't weigh yourself. I'll tell you my goal with people. A lot of people's goal is to get them to not step on the scale. That's not my goal. My goal is to get everybody to eventually be able to step on the scale and look at the number and say, cool, regardless of whether it went up or down. Like, I don't necessarily want them to celebrate a downward drop because it's not necessarily anything. And I don't want them to get pissed at an upward spike because it's not necessarily anything. I just want them to use it as data. So, but that being said, some people get very emotional about it. And for them, I have no problem saying don't step on it. So with you, like trying to be as objective as possible, where do you fall on that spectrum right now?
Well, I thought I was being pretty objective about it, but then on Monday I stepped on the scale and I was back up to 143, which is where I started 3.5 weeks ago. And it definitely messed with my emotions the rest of Monday. And I knew in my head, I said, I'm still going to stick with it. This isn't going to impact my progress, but it was a little bit of a mind fuck on Monday when I saw that number.
And what happened Tuesday?
So, it went down. It went back down.
Way to not mention that, Jen.
It went
Jen.
Back down the 3 pounds. Yeah. Oh, oops.
It went all the way back down the 3 pounds?
It went back down 3 pounds, yeah.
I'm going to make this one sound clip. I'm going to cut this sound clip. And I'm going to just put it on auto repeat and just make and somehow find a way to bug it in your ear. So all day, every day, you just hear this on repeat. Yeah, Monday it went up 3 pounds and Tuesday it went back down 3 pounds. Like over and over and over and over. And it's funny because sometimes people will post in the inner circle, like they'll go up 3 pounds one day. And then all of a sudden they'll go in the inner circle and be like, oh my God, this isn't working. I don't know what's going on, whatever. And then I'll comment. I'll be like, so when did this happen? And what's like the trend overall? And they'll be like, it just happened today. And I'll be like, but your trend has been down overall. Yes. So calm down. Stop using all caps and exclamation points. You're fine. This isn't a disaster. Like no one's died. Yeah. It's not a problem. So what I would, I'm glad that we can laugh about this because, and let me ask you this, actually even equally as important, this is going to be a recurring theme on these calls and things I talk about. When you got on the scale and it went up 3 pounds and you were clearly bummed about it and upset, was it all like in your head in terms of, was it all like emotion based in your head or did you have an out loud verbal conversation with yourself?
It was all in my head. And so pretty much all day long.
All day. It was in your head, right? But had you sat down and you're like, and you literally just had a verbal conversation, maybe even when you got off, like you felt you yourself get upset, worried, whatever, took a deep breath, and you were like, okay, so the scale went up 3 pounds this morning, and I know the scale is going to fluctuate. I know that on average, I'm down 3 pounds over the course of the last three and a half weeks, and that's really good. And every time I see any science-based post relating to the scale, it always says it will not go down every day, and its fluctuations are normal. So I'm going to be totally fine today because this doesn't fucking mean anything. I'm going to stay on track. I bet you would have been way better off the rest of the day.
You're probably right. Yes.
So, and I don't know if you've seen these in the past inner circles or in the videos, but have you seen the where I've spoken about really verbalizing anytime you're having an emotional reaction to something?
I have, yes. And I did not internalize that apparently. So now I will.
So now you're already doing one challenge, and the fact that you've stuck with it so far is amazing because someone else might have seen that. Maybe you, not on the challenge, would have said fuck it and done whatever when they're scaling up, right? But because absolutely, you're doing the challenge, because you're doing the challenge and you're like, you know what? I'm sticking to this. I'm not letting this. You did it. And I'm so, that's why I'm such a big proponent of these, because it's like, it's not giving you a way out. And then how cool is that? Like then on Tuesday, it goes down. And you're like, whew, thank God I stuck with it because it's still working. But like, I have a sub challenge for you, because I promise you this, Jen. I promise you, at another point in time, the scale's going to go up 3 pounds one day again, and you're going to get pissed. I promise you it's going to happen. And my challenge to you, anytime you have an emotional reaction to the scale specifically, but in any of this, I want you to take yourself, if you're in the office, take yourself to a place where you can do it and have a conversation with yourself. So people might think you're crazy. People think I'm crazy all the time. Actually, you want to know, I got this tip. My best friend, he's one of my best family friends. His name is Josh. I don't know the difference between a psychologist and I don't even know the other word in this moment. Psychologist and
a psychiatrist.
Yeah, exactly. I don't know the difference. I know one of them can prescribe medication.
Right.
He's the higher level one, and he's been a family friend of mine for years. He's actually the guy I almost dropped out of college, and he is the guy who kept me in. But he told me a story of a guy who would slip in and out of psychosis, an older man. And when he would go into a psychotic state, he wasn't dangerous, but he thought he could hear his wife who had passed away, and he would have conversations with her. And the trick that he didn't need to be in a house. He didn't need to any supervision. It's just, he needed to take his pills, and sometimes he wouldn't take his pills just so he could hear his wife's voice and have conversations with her. So they came up with a deal where he would have his phone out, and just if he was in public, he would pretend like he was talking on the phone with someone. And that way it wouldn't look weird, and people wouldn't call like someone because an old man is just having a conversation with literally nobody. So that's something I've used where literally I will do it myself. If I'm having an emotional reaction to something, like I'm at a point in my life where the scale doesn't bother me anymore. But like if it's something related in any situation, I will take my phone out if I'm in public, and I'll just have a conversation with myself. And it's completely normal. In your head, the first couple of times, you're like, do they know I'm talking to myself right now? No one knows. No one cares. I could literally probably talk to myself. No one gives a shit. No one cares what this short, balding Jewish guy is doing. No one fucking cares. So take your phone out or wherever, go into a private place and just talk to yourself and state the facts. This is what happened. And as you do it, you're going to be like, oh my God, I can't believe I almost just wasted a whole day pissed off about this, right? Like, that's my sub challenge to you for the rest of these 90 days. Do you accept?
Okay. Absolutely.
I love that. I love it. So now circling back to the original question, which was, how do you essentially know if you're still making progress, or what do? You're going to track your weight daily if you want to do that. I would say the bare minimum I would say is 3 times a week. The main reason I prefer daily is because you get more data, and if you happen to do it 3 days that your weight is up, you'll be like, fuck this. But by doing it daily, you do get more data. But I'd say 3 times a week to 7 times a week. And then don't weigh yourself the day after, like an insane, like a birthday party, something that you did go over, whatever. It's just not worth it. But track your data, track your weight, track your measurements, track your clothes, track your pictures, keep track of comments from people, whatever. And my recommendation is this. If I was talking solely based on science, solely based on physiology, I would say if you don't see a change in about 2 weeks, 14 days, then either slightly reduce calories or slightly increase output, walking a little bit more, doing a little bit more like low intensity cardio, a little bit, just enough to burn an extra 100, 200 calories several days a week.
Okay.
But if I'm talking to a person, which I am, I say 30 days because it's so easy to feel like you're being perfect and everything when sometimes there are days that just aren't 100% consistent, and that's just normal. That's life. That's just whatever. So I tend to go with the 30 day option only because if you really hit those 30 days 100%, something's going to happen. And if you hit them 100% and it didn't happen, that's when you make a change.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Keeping in mind, you aren't even 30 days into the original challenge yet, right?
Correct.
And you're still making a ton of progress. But and here's actually a really important point, because I did the same thing to Natalia in the Inner Circle, where like, that's how she started, where I was like, you're going to do a 90-day challenge. And she still hasn't even done the 90 days yet, which is crazy because she's like, this is taking forever. She's already, I think she's down almost 20 pounds now. And before she like swore she like wasn't, nothing was working, yada, yada, yada. But like now she's crushing it because she, and basically how crazy is it that you haven't even been doing it a full 30 days yet?
Yeah.
Like in terms of, does it feel,
it feels good.
It feels good.
It feels natural.
Good. Yeah. That's amazing.
It feels sustainable, which is important to me.
Let me ask you this, if you don't mind answering. You said earlier you were resistant to counting calories.
Yeah.
Can you talk to me about that? What was the resistance? Why? And keep in mind, I'm like, I full transparency here in terms of, I guarantee you, whatever was you were being resistant about, other people are having the exact same thing in this moment. And I think that what you're about to say will help a lot of people.
Okay. So I think it probably goes back to being in situations where I had been tracking calories. So I'm going back to last summer. I started out tracking calories. I was trying to eat lower carb. So I do great for most of the day, up until probably up until I got home from work. And I would start making dinner for my family. And at that point I would be so starving from the lack of carbs, because I don't think I do well on a low carb diet, that I would just graze. So I would be making dinner. I'd be eating as I'm making dinner. I would restrict myself from having any carbs, that I was serving to my family. But then I would eat spoonfuls of them as I was, you know, packing lunches for the next day, or, putting the leftovers away. So at that point it was like, oh, well, fuck it. I shouldn't even count those how can I count those calories? I don't know how much I was eating. So I think it was just frustration from that, you know, not having enough to eat throughout the day and not eating the right things for me throughout the day. And then just, I guess you could call it binging at the end of the day. And at that point it was like, no, I'm not counting those calories. There's no point.
Got it.
So
thank you for that.
I think that's where it stems from. Yeah.
Just so you know, that is one of the more common things I hear all the time. Restrict, 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 binge at night. That is one of the most common things. And it's actually one of the reasons why intermittent fasting has become so popular, because people are like, oh my God, I can essentially binge without guilt now. And that's where a lot of people get into trouble with intermittent fasting. I've spoken a lot about intermittent fasting. I support it fully. It's not for everyone, especially people who are more prone to binging at night. What I will say, actually, I have a question. When you were first counting calories, you're also restricting carbs. Are you restricting carbs now?
I am not. No, because I learned then that it doesn't work for me.
This is I'm so glad we're having it. Thank you so much, because like this is such an important talk that we're having. And
yeah,
what you just, it's so basically, not only did it, I don't even know if it was the counting calories that might have done it. It might have been the elimination or restriction on that, that then led you to be like, ah, now I'm going to have all of them because they're here. And right. It's like you go through all the stress of the day, like work and your kids and the family. And you're like, restrict, restrict, restrict. And then here they are in front of me. Fuck it. Every day. Yeah. Like, that's right. So, but now you know they're not bad. You're not restricting yourself. You just have a total number of calories to hit. And if they're in front of you, it's like, if I want some, I'll have some. But now that it's not off limits, it's not like, like shove it all down your throat. Isn't it crazy how that works?
It is so crazy. Yeah. I find that if I have carbs throughout the day, then I don't get hangry when it's time to make dinner. I don't feel like I need to eat. And so sometime, you know, I was making my kids macaroni and cheese the other night. It didn't fit in my calories and I was okay with that. I said, if I want to eat it tomorrow, I'll just make it fit and it's no big deal. And it was fine. So I love the flexibility and the way this feels sustainable for long term, because that's really important to me. I want to be able to get to a point where I'm happy with my weight, I'm happy with the way I look, and it's pretty natural to maintain it.
Jen, you're fucking amazing. Seriously. And you just even said something else. I don't even know you realized you said it. Have you heard of, seen my bright line concept?
I don't think so.
Okay, you're going to, there's a lot in here. So there's a ton of, I know there's a lot in here, but you're going to come across the bright line concept. I'll talk about it again. We're going to talk about it right now. What you just said, you don't even realize how impactful this is for so many people and maybe even yourself. The mac and cheese, you see it there and you're like, I'm okay with it. If I want it tomorrow, I'll make it fit. Mm-hmm. And this is a really, 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 powerful statement, and a statement that can immediately take stress off of you, which it sounds like exactly what it did. You're like, if I want it tomorrow, I'll have it fit. Cool. One of the things that I'll have people do if they like are thinking about binging on a food or they really want food, I'll say, don't say you can't have it. Say, I'll have it later. I'll have it in 20 minutes if I still want it. And when you give yourself that permission, just give yourself a time in the future to have it, all that stress goes away because you're giving yourself permission. And then usually when the time comes around, you probably don't even want it anymore.
Yeah, right.
So, but I mean, and if you do want it, great. Then you can have it in an appropriate portion. You're fine. But that is that, just simply saying either I'll have it in 20 minutes or if I still want it in 20 minutes or if I want it tomorrow, I'll make sure it fits in my calories tomorrow. That's an amazing, amazing tool that you used.
Yeah.
Really? Yeah. That's and basically the bright line being it's a rule. Right. So the bright line is a rule where whether you're going out to eat with friends or whether you're going out to eat with friends, you're going to an event or whatever, you create a rule for yourself or any time you have a craving, the rule is you must follow that rule. So every time you crave mac and cheese, your rule is I'll say if I still want it tomorrow, I'm going to make it fit. That's your rule.
Yeah.
And like the thing about a bright line is some people are like, yeah, I'll make a rule. Like some people are like, I'm going to count calories. But then they don't. And even though they say they will, the bright line is you have to make this promise with yourself, like in the deepest heart of your soul, like an unbreakable promise in Harry Potter terms, the unbreakable vow, where it's like, you just have to do it. And when you really stick to them, they do help because they take a lot of stress off. So So now going all the way back, I bet you did not think that this was going to take so long to answer your question, was track your data for 30 days. And if it doesn't change, depending on what you're more comfortable with, either reduce calories slightly, just like don't go crazy. I'd say 3 days a week or 4 days a week, reduce your calories by 100 to 200. And then or increase your output, like add another 15 to 20 minutes of walking or another like 10 to 15 minutes of higher intensity cardio several days a week. That's it. Just a little bit of that. Do that for 2 more weeks. Consistently. And if you don't see any change, which you should at that point, but if you don't, then a little bit more. But it's just those little things. And keeping in mind, most people will make the change for 1 or 2 days, not see a change. They fuck this, it's not working. You got to do it consistently for 2 more weeks before you change it.
Yeah. Okay.
Does that make sense?
It does. Yeah.
I'm sorry I'm so long-winded.
No, it's all really good. I really appreciate it.
Is there anything else, any other questions you had, anything that you wanted to discuss?
At some point I'd like to talk with you about the concept of maintenance, but it's probably a conversation that would be better when I'm closer to that point. So,
okay. Yeah. I mean, but we'll talk about it. Here's the deal. When you're done with the 90 days, we're going to hop on again.
Okay.
Well, let's make that a deal. When you complete the full 90 days, 100% absolutely consistent, we're going to hop on the phone and talk about next steps, whether that's continuing or reduce or changing your numbers or maintenance, but we'll be able to talk about that. And by the way, I can also, there's a lot of stuff about maintenance in the Inner Circle already that I can forward you.
Okay, great.
Cool.
Awesome. That is a good, that'll be a good goal for 90 days. Get to talk with Jordan again.
And that's a good thing for me because I get to talk with Jen again. So listen, thank you so much for getting, I really appreciate it. And I know like we're doing the podcast right now and I'm hopefully going to release it, publish it within the next couple hours. I just want you to know, like everything that you said is so common and there are going to be a lot of people who listen to this and they're going to be like, wow. That I'm so glad that like Jen was open about that and had that call because it's really going to be very impactful. So thank you for taking the time to do this.
Yeah. Thank you. And I hope it's helpful for somebody else.
Well, thank you, Jen. I'll see you in the Inner Circle. And if you need anything, please let me know.
Okay. Thanks, Jordan. Take care.
Bye, Jen.
Well, that wraps up another episode of the Daily Unicorn Mini Podcast. I hope you enjoyed it. If you did, I would really appreciate leaving a ranking, whether you're on iTunes or Spotify or Anchor. It does help. Leaving the rankings do help a lot. And either way, I hope you enjoyed it. If I can help, do not hesitate to contact me, reach out. I'm always here. Thank you so much. Have a wonderful day.
The podcast you just heard was recorded with Anchor. If you want to make your own, download the Android or iOS app completely free from anchor.fm/podcast. That's anchor.fm/podcast.